Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 174. A little change of scenery. We've left the studio and we are here in the backyard of one of our houses located in Phoenix, Arizona, being met by some lovely warm weather. Actually, today is such a nice day. I don't know what the temperature is. It's probably 20.
It's shorts 4. And shirt weather. That's what it is, boys.
Hell yeah. Probably shirts off weather. I imagine on the run. Well, George is running. Some breeze came out.
Got my tank. I got my muscle shirt on.
I was about
on.
To say taint, but tank. He's got your tank on.
I literally just...
Early taint mention.
Came straight from jumping in the pool. Life's good down here.
Phoenix is so nice this time of year.
Scottsdale is actually just... It's a little too nice, I think.
I think the people that train in Arizona are just soft.
Until you
just
get to
Arizona
the summer.
In general.
The people that train all that base in Arizona are just soft, I think.
It's too easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially up in that mountain town. That,
yeah, especially in Flag, right?
Yeah. I just think it's just too easy here.
No. But
7 is and sunny every day.
Phoenix is crazy. But then I can't imagine staying here beyond... I'm not sure which month it goes from nice to crazy, crazy hot. Probably...
I'm already seeing 90s. Almost 90 next week.
Yeah.
Still February. And then, yeah, what do you get in July? It's just 1,000 degrees.
Every day, nonstop. But we are very happy to be down here with the team. It's been good vibes. I think today we'll talk about the crazy amount of world records that have been broken recently and break them down and give our takes on them. But we will start off with a little training update on us. The Phoenix training camp this year, our team is much bigger than it's been last time we went on. Last time we went on training camp, we only needed 2 Airbnbs. This time we're spread across 4 or 5, including the coaches.
That is partly because that Florida house.
Oh, yeah, that Florida is different.
There were like 7 bedrooms in that house.
Yeah.
There were like 5 upstairs, and yet Clicker was still sleeping in the kitchen.
That was crazy.
That's because Al kept turning up the thermostat to like 120 degrees.
Yeah.
He was freezing the whole time there.
Yeah. Holy shit, Orlando sucked. All right. I'm sad that you brought back up the last training camp.
I think it's good to just know where we've come from and to just really be gracious for where we are now.
We do have 5 houses this time, huh?
But yeah, the houses are like 3-bedroom houses, I guess, here in Phoenix. It's hard. I think to get a mansion of 5+ bedrooms here in Phoenix is a bit expensive, maybe.
Yeah. Who have you got in your house?
Who is in my house? So Cinta and I, sharing a room. Kai and Sige.
I can't believe they made you do that.
Yeah, again.
didn't even get his own room.
How's that been going?
Is that weird? Yeah.
You know, it's felt pretty normal this time. I think after sharing a room for probably a year or two, you get used to it.
Mm. But like it's not interrupting your sleep schedule or anything like that, right?
You know, sometimes. She's actually going to be annoyed at me for saying that because I'm the one that's a bad sleeper. She's like perfectly fine at sleeping, but... you know, we get along. We make it work. And then we got Kai across the hall. So if anyone has, you know, an argument or something, we can always go find him and he can calm us down, set us straight. But then we also have Sige in the house. It's just a 3-bedroom. Originally, they thought it was a 4-bedroom. So one of our new teammates, unannounced, was going to come stay with us. I don't know where she would have been staying if she had been here because, yeah, definitely only a 3-bedroom. I don't know where this hidden 4th bedroom is. But our house is good. Just cooking together, chilling, just lovely backyard, bunch of games inside. So no complaints at all.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice setup. I mean, the house has probably just gone through some growing pains. So maybe that 4th bedroom will pop out at some point.
Eventually it'll come out.
But I think after Kai lived with you and Cinta in Sam Ritz, I think you're destined to have him for the rest of your guys' careers.
It feels comfortable.
Anytime there's a situation of housing, it's just like, oh, Cinta, Morgan, Kai.
It feels comfortable. It'd be interesting if there was more, like, if you added more people to the dynamic, how it would change. But we have a nice little thing going on when it comes to cooking meals and, you know, we know each other's schedules, our patterns. We watch the same TV shows together, watching Severance Season 2 right now. We play games together. So it's working out pretty well for us over here. What about you guys?
Who's in your house, Ollie?
I'm struggling a little bit here.
It's tough, isn't it?
Well, I'm not usually outnumbered by Kiwis, but one of them doesn't really count as a Kiwi, right?
Well, she's not even here to defend herself.
She's a hybrid. She's a hybrid.
She's a hybrid athlete.
She's a hybrid. She's a hybrid American Kiwi. No, but all jokes aside, I'm with Maya, Olivia, and George. I would say our combination of house is pretty good. We do have a nickname for our house that Geordie came up with, which was quite cute, I thought.
What can I say?
What is it?
Can we say it?
I think so.
Scottsdale Sluts.
Scottsdale Sluts. George, you said that?
No, it was just for the group chat, right?
Yeah, you said that?
Yeah, George said that. Yeah.
That's naughty.
Yeah. It was cheeky, actually.
I know. I just knew that a couple of Gen Z girls, like...
Oh, however, he knows what Gen Z girls like.
Yeah. However young they are.
Okay.
I shouldn't have gone.
I see.
I knew Maya and Olivia would get a kick out of it. That's what I'm saying. And
they
did.
They did laugh at it. We've got probably, besides the hot tub at Morgan's place, probably one of the best houses that we got out of the Airbnb. We got very
lucky.
It's
actually so nice.
We have a beer refrigerator where we put our sparkling waters and our non-alcoholic beers.
And then who got the master bedroom?
Well, to be fair, Tyson gave me the master bedroom because if you look at the sheet, it said King Ollie and it said King George.
It did.
But you just weren't quick enough getting into the house.
You know that I'd already been in there, but I wasn't forward enough to take it for myself.
Well, to be fair, my room was too artificial. I feel like your room's got a bit more of a natural vibe.
Shut the fuck up.
Which is the better room?
Definitely.
Well, he has his own bathroom.
Definitely me because I have my own bathroom.
Nice. But we
also have two sinks. I use one sink for... peeing and the
other one for showering.
Lovely. One for showering, yeah.
No, we did decide that Ollie was deserving of the master, seeing as he very generously brought down his most prized possession.
My second baby, which is my first baby, is Gussie.
Oh shit, sorry. After his second most prized position after
La Mazzocca Linea Mini is in Scottsdale, touchdown with Tyson. Shout out to Tyson for driving the van with all of our stuff, including Geordie's other baby.
My most prized position, the water filter.
Yeah, and then me, my coffee machine. So we've got a really good setup. The girls are bringing in good vibes. They cooked us one of the greatest meals I've had on camp.
Ooh.
I said one of the greatest, yeah. George. Yours is also great. But I thought that beep and bop meal that they made was pretty unreal. Vibes are pretty good over at our place. We have a pool. It's freezing. We jump in here and there. Also, we have a fire pit, which we haven't used yet.
We do.
But
vibes are good.
Vibes are great. We've got a great kitchen. We've got a cast iron. We've got a cast iron pan.
That's elite.
We just got great stuff. And then we go over to another house.
We can talk about the other houses.
We got Joe, Sage, Alicia, and Josette. And those four are in a house that apparently is the same size as probably the living room of both of our houses. It has one pan. And unfortunately for them, it hasn't been a great place for cooking. They've got a nice backyard, I think. But other than that, and a grill. Nice grill. But other than that,
next to the busy road.
The Airbnb and next to a highway. The Airbnb is we're a bit more lucky with how the Airbnb's been stocked compared to theirs. So they've been cooking at Dathan, Kelsey, and Koki's place. And Tyson's place. Actually, Tyson's staying there too. But the Airbnbs are all super close. But the funny thing is, we're all like 100 meters away, but we're locked off from the streets. So we have to walk like around to get to each other's places, which is a little annoying because obviously extra mileage. But it's
gets you fitter
and tougher. You gotta, I mean, it's just everything here is just way too easy. Like Arizona, if you live in Arizona, you're living it pretty easy. There's not much adversity here if you're a professional athlete.
I don't know how you're supposed to get fit down here. Now that's housing. Should we talk about training?
Training. How's training been, boys?
Ollie, but easy.
I popped my cherry. I did the double threshold. My double threshold.
Double threshy, cheery.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, it's just so overrated.
already knows.
Based off one time.
Already knows.
Already overrated. I think according to Jakob's measurements, I am overtraining because my lactate was pretty low.
Maybe you just weren't trying hard enough.
I should call him up and say, no, I think I'm overtraining. From what he told me, if your lactate's too low, you're overtraining. But
he told you that personally?
I mean, we talk still. No, he hasn't told them. I just watched a video of him telling me that. But
knew,
I feel like he was talking to me.
That message was meant for him.
He was looking in the eye of the camera and he was looking at me. That's how he looks at me at meets usually.
What did you think of the double?
I liked it a lot. I would love to keep doing it. I think for me, the type of runner I am, for if I'm doing two workouts a week, double threshold is like a very controlled and a long day. Like you don't have much you can get out of that day. But if you get those two sessions in, you do feel like you've accomplished something. And also it's not a crazy ball buster, like you're not on the ground. So I like that type of training for one of those sessions. And then obviously go to the Sunday session where it's track. It's more harder. You push yourself a bit harder. I feel like I can separate those two sessions and get the most out of what I want to achieve. So double threshold, I really enjoyed. I'd hope to do it again. It's just going to depend on the budget. See if we can handle a budget change with the double threshold.
The threshold budget.
from what I heard from Dathan, we have unlimited infinite threshold budget, but it depends on where it's going to get distributed. So me, Kai, and George did that session where we ran miles slash whatever in the morning on the canal, or canals as I call them. And then we did a short hour and a half drive.
Yeah, can we just go through that?
Yeah, so
how that happened?
So GSU is the university, correct?
GCU.
GCU, sorry. What the hell is GSU? Georgia State University?
GCU. I think you just made that one up.
GCU, which is one of those universities that I thought was like a Trump university that I didn't think it actually existed. But
that's just what Clicker told you. Joe was convinced. He was like, he's like, nah, yeah. I don't think that's real university.
Is he thinking of the online one, the University of Phoenix?
No, but isn't it
that
this one?
That actually might be. Is that like just because that one always has online ads?
Yeah, it's the one that has all the ads on TV.
GCU also has a big online.
Really?
Yeah.
But
it also exists in For Reals.
No, it does. We saw it, yeah. And the campus was popping. When we were
this
there.
Is vibing.
Softball games, basketball games.
I think it's a cool school.
People are enjoying themselves. Yara got recognized by multiple students.
There were people literally just filming him going by, warming up. Sick. He's actually just full-on famous now.
He is very famous now. And that drive was interesting because the coaches said half an hour.
No. Google Maps said half an hour, but like just that was just like at a normal time of day, not at... So this is the second workout of the day on the track. So we're going at like 3:45 p.m.
Yeah, early.
And
early-ish.
It's just full-blown Phoenix traffic. And
well, you already talked to the coaches before saying that this was going to happen because you're an AZ, you're a zoner.
Well, I double checked. I was like, I could see that at like 2 o'clock, it was already saying like 45 minutes. And I was like, is everyone like on the same page here? Like, do we know it's only going to get worse? It's going to be quite a long drive later this afternoon. And then right, it was like, everyone was just instructed to leave at like 3:30. And right at 3:30, there's a message in the group chat from Mario. And he's like, is this the right place? It's 50 something minutes away. He just like assumed he must have typed in like the wrong address. And I was like, yeah, that's the one.
It was an hour away.
And then like 20 minutes into the drive, we were still like an hour away.
So
it's just getting worse.
We couldn't get any closer.
The traffic was just getting worse. And like, honestly, vibes were pretty good in the car, but you could tell George was starting to really grip.
No, vibes were good for like...
half an hour, maybe.
Half an hour. Yeah. And then...
hit the limit.
And then we crashed.
Probably
what hard.
Probably partly what did it is you would have driven past about 10 tracks on the way there.
That's the thing.
Because there's tracks everywhere.
There's tracks on every block.
Yeah, that was tough.
And I'm imagining that at this point, if you just drop Yared's name to any high school coach, they're like, yes, please use our track.
That's what we said. We're like, we're just... Yared will show up and they'll literally name the track after him if we offer to go there.
Yeah.
Like, this cannot be that hard.
That's tough.
But yeah, it was.
Especially for the second workout of the day.
We already worked out. And then we drove an hour and like 5 minutes or something all the way to GCU.
Yeah.
In time to do. And actually, the vibes were good though. There was like, the track was like, it was kind of under lights.
And
in
then
the
it started to sprinkle.
Like drizzling rain.
Yeah.
And then we ran K's, right?
Yes. We ran K's and we did make a mistake of going backwards when the cones were only supposed to go forward. We made a mistake of going forwards in lane three when the cones are only specifically set up for going backwards in lane three. So then we confused the coaches on timing.
Nice.
But we got the workout done. Shout out to Kai for being shirtless pretty much every single day he's been here. Showing off that long torso.
Okay, this is contentious. I don't think he has a long torso.
I think his torso is pretty long.
And he's got long legs.
I think that's a pretty sizable torso right there.
All right, we're going to have to measure him. I think. How much do you think the average your ratio of legs to torso is?
I think it's three. I think he's 2/3 torso, and then he's 1/3 legs, and then he's.
What ratio is Seth Hirsch though for like?
Oh, dude, that's like Seth is like
3/4.
Yeah, 3/4.
So that's like upper limit.
Yeah, Seth is like ratio. The maximum.
Do you guys have any torso. Shirtless pics of Kai?
I don't know
every photo of him running. Either.
I have some photos of him shirtless, but I don't know if we can show them.
So what we found, though, is that there's no lactate down here, is what Ollie was referring to, but now he thinks he's overtraining.
Yeah, because my lactate was the lowest I've ever seen it, and then I thought the first reading that Tyson got off me was, like, a wrong reading, because it was under 2.
You're seeing numbers you've never seen before.
Yeah.
My resting threshold on the treadmills back in Boulder is, like, 4.8, and I was, like, 1.6, and I was running quicker. And obviously it's a sea level, but I was running quicker. And then we did 8. And then my last one, we were progressing them a little bit, but not crazy. We were staying around the same pace, which is what you're supposed to do.
In the afternoon, you got to like 2.4 or something.
2.4,
right?
Yeah.
After being 1.something in the morning.
Yeah, and then the last rep in the first session was 2.1. And then the last one was 2.4.
What an amazing double threshold.
And
dude.
We ran
well
quite
executed.
A lot. Yeah, well, we ran quite a lot faster in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But it was on the track and it was shorter reps. But still thinking that, you know, maybe you run a slightly higher intensity in the afternoon. But we're still at like 1.
That's why I think I'm overtraining. That's why I think I'm overtraining. Like 237 Ks at 2.1, like that's insane.
Don't let Jakob hear that.
And I think Jakob is right. I think I am overtraining. No,
maybe
but
you're at 235 next
aside,
time.
Yeah, 235. But jokes aside, I do really enjoy it. I think... I can definitely see, though, how it can affect your speed work if you don't supplement or add in some extra speed work. Because if you just did that, like, twice a week and then did
three times.
Yeah, if you just did that, like, you would not be able to change gears at all, like, after a while. Because you'd be so good at running it.
You'd be so fit, though. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. It wouldn't matter. You just lead everything. But,
No, everyone handled it pretty well. It did end up being only me, you, and Kai.
It was only the three of us that did it, right?
The USA's crew.
Well, they did something different, unique, and new in a different way.
Yeah, they did some...
They did double workout day, but not double threshold.
Well, we've done that, George.
Me and Ollie did try that.
We've done that before.
Really?
It's really hard.
It was quite hard. Yeah. Like, quite hard 300s on short rest.
They did a very good job. Shout out to Dylan. Jakob's looking absolutely beautiful out there running 300s.
No, Dylan was getting... he was getting passed by Sage. Sage was running 150s with them.
When Sage passed him,
Sage was going past Dylan. He was getting, and
Dylan just looked and he's like, I can't lie.
She must be running pretty quick.
Yeah, she was. She was, she was running really quick.
I know the guys were running pretty quick.
Yeah, no, she was ripping.
Love it.
But the other person that would have been there was Morg.
Yeah. I was so excited to rip double threshold. It's all I've wanted for the last 8 years of my life.
We were sad not to have you there.
But unfortunately, I do have a bit of a tale to tell. I'll tell the short version of it because there's no long story to tell about it, really. Since the half marathon, so I came to training camp a day late because I unfortunately had to get an MRI because I've had pain in my quad hip flexor area, like upper quad, since like for 2 weeks now. And I thought it was like a little muscle strain or something. And I tried to train through it and like maybe 2 times I thought it was getting better and it wasn't. Kind of that classic cycle that you don't want to be in where you just feel like you're beating your head against the wall and everything just sucks. And it was hard initially because I thought that that's how your body was meant to feel after a half marathon, like in the 1 week after it. But it turns out that I do have I think the best way to describe it is an injury. Sorry. I don't know what else I was going to say there. I am injured and I'm not able to train right now.
I was expecting the scientific words, but
that's probably the funniest thing you've ever said on the podcast. That's probably the funniest thing. I'm literally crying right now. That is the funniest thing you've ever said on the podcast. And it's heartbreaking that you're dealing with this right now, but then you've just...
You know what they say, laugh or cry. But it's not... It's not the worst injury ever, but it's not the best. I don't know what the best injury is.
The best injury ever?
It's not the best injury ever either. What it is I have a tendinopathy in my iliopsoas tendon, and where it inserts into my femur at the lesser trochanter. It is technically a stress reaction. I think if I walked around on top, if I had a stress reaction in my femur, it would be making it sound a little bit worse than it is, but it is that. So I do have to be smart about how I go about dealing with it. And I have to take probably around 10 days to 2 weeks off before I get back on the boost. So yeah, I've just been cross training, going to the gym a little bit, walking around a little bit too much maybe. Got in trouble for that today for going on too long walks. But yeah, so I'm just recovering.
Do you feel like it happened literally during the race or in the days like following, like in the week after getting back into stuff?
It's such a good question because I've been trying to work that out, and I really don't think that it happened in the race, or at least initially I didn't think it happened in the race. I think that it happened in the week after, but then there are some things which
just like training while fatigued kind of from the race.
Like that's what I thought it was what made it its worst, was doing that. But then even thinking like that line of thinking makes me think, well, I probably damaged it in the race. Or because the thing is, if you take even a step back and I think about my sore back, I'm thinking that could be related to it as well, because I think a sore, it's on the same side, on my left side. So having the sore lower back, I'm sure somehow affects my hip and puts more strain through my iliopsoas tendon. I'm sure there's some connection there. And then like the week of the race, I was having some issues where my pelvis felt a little bit off, not bad, but I'm thinking, okay, maybe that was a thing that I was experiencing. The race, I felt amazing running the race. And then the days after it, I just felt fatigued. And when I got back into training, I felt fatigued and my hips felt really off. I was complaining about it quite a bit. Like I wasn't making the biggest deal about it, but I was like, yeah, something, like I need to get this fixed. I didn't think it was anything major. And again, like I thought it was like kind of normal, but I think it was in that period that it definitely became the injury that it is now. And yeah, I could have, I don't know, just taken more time off with it to let it heal earlier. But at the end of the day, I think we still caught it relatively early, which is the positive, because the thing with this one is Dr. Kabbala said, I think like 9 times out of 10, if you tried to train through this for too long, you'd get like a femoral neck stress fracture. So that's a real bad one.
That sounds way worse.
Yeah.
That does sound much
worse. So I did avoid that. I'm really like sad because I just wanted to be doing training here in Phoenix. Like sea level training sounded so fun, especially getting into stuff. And I was really getting excited to like move straight into some track racing in the near future. So unfortunately I have to hit the brakes. I mean, honestly, overall, I'm really just disappointed because like my goal, if you know me, this is probably pretty obvious, but my goal is just to stay healthy every year. Like that's what I obsess about more so than anything else. So I'm really disappointed to fail in my goal, but I guess all I can do now is try get it healed up and just maintain some fitness. I mean, it's been feeling all right. Like it doesn't feel amazing, but it's been feeling not bad. And
yeah,
I like the weeks, like the last couple of weeks where I was trying to run through it before I knew what it was, like it honestly healed up like pretty good, even when I was like doing like easy days of running. Like whenever I did a workout the 2 times, it got a lot worse after that. So I'm pretty confident that soon I'll be able to get back on the boost, and then I'll kind of be over that initial hump after not that long, and I'll be able to ramp up into solid training. And meanwhile, just stay fit by cross training and getting on the bike and stuff. So
you failed early though. Like I think that's like something we should say. Like the way I would say it is like
you didn't even last very long.
You didn't study for the exam. This is my analogy. You didn't study for the exam, and instead of just going to the exam,
the next one,
and spending 2 hours and then getting a really worse result, you just didn't turn up to the exam.
Now, if you're going to get injured, this is the time of year to get injured. Yeah. This is true.
And it's the first exam of the year. So then you got a couple other exams where you can just put your GPA up. So it's
exactly.
So
no, thank you. That's very positive.
That's the way you got to look at it. It's like you didn't take that test.
It's not even a midterm.
The professor's
really
looking at it going, well, he's not an idiot, but he didn't turn up. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you took the test, it's like, Well, you're an idiot. I'm going to mark
it
him
is,
down.
It is weirdly, yes, you never want to get injured, especially I'm looking at, like the way I look at myself where I'm at right now in professional running is like I'm trying to break through. I'm trying to be a good professional runner, and I know that I need to get some level. I need to be able to consistently train hard to do that. Like I know that's like there's no way around that. So yes, that's disappointing to have to push that back a little bit. But as a pro runner, if you're going to miss something, indoors is probably the best thing to miss. Yeah. And I did get solid. For me, I got a really solid fall. Like I had the best fall of training ever. So I have that base behind me, and now I'm not going to do any of these indoor races. But I will like give myself enough time to train solid and then turn up for outdoor racing. Hopefully, even toward like at the beginning of outdoor season, I should already be in really good shape. You know, it's not like that'll like I'll miss too much outdoors. Indoors is, as we all know, an amazing season to be part of and to be running well in, because you can really set yourself up for the rest of the year and you can do crazy stuff like break world records and national records and get qualifiers out of the way. All lovely things to do, but you know, sometimes you got to take the longer road, and I think we've seen with many athletes in the past that can often, if you do it right, yeah, that can bear some lovely fruits. Obviously thinking of like Cinta last year, she had a injury through January, and then she came back and found herself in absolutely killer shape at the right time in the season. So you never know. It is an annoying one, because it's just like, I just wish I didn't race the half marathon now.
Yeah. No, that
like I don't regret racing the half marathon, but if I was able to make a decision, like I wouldn't have sacrificed any track racing for the half marathon. Yeah.
It only would have felt like a mistake if you like warmed up for the race and were like, this really doesn't, this really doesn't feel good.
It was more of a conscious decision.
But no, fuck it, I'm going to run through it. Yeah. It's not like you were doing that.
No.
So I feel like you can't, it's hard to look at it and blame that.
Yeah.
But it is obviously like, that's a massive stimulus, and yeah, maybe it was just such a, like that took a toll on the body for a bit. But yeah, and that makes sense, like the intensity of running, like even just in the last couple of weeks, like if it's like the hip flexor, it's basically like tugging on the bone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which like that kind of is what turns into a stress reaction. So running fast is probably just pulling on it even harder. So I feel like easy run on the boost, I feel like that's got to be like way closer than you think.
Yeah.
And like, sure, you know, indoors is like, I mean, outdoors is the meat and potatoes of our career, bro. You don't want to fill up on bread. You know,
I hate it. Indoors, I do that sometimes, and it sucks.
Yeah, indoors is filled up on bread.
What's dessert?
Dessert. Dessert is the off season, baby. That's what dessert is.
It's vacation.
Come on, bro. You know my analogies. I'm just saying, like, the worst thing you can do in a great season is fill up on bread. Bread is good. Bread is delicious, and bread is fun. But if you eat too much bread, you'll miss some meat and potatoes. That's Morgan, what I've always Morgan told myself.
Morg actually does fill up.
I know.
I've seen him do that.
I do all the time.
I've seen him
fill up. At a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, chips and salsa. It's the chips and salsa. Like, it's really fun and enjoyable.
You're a sucker for that.
But you don't want to ruin your quesadilla, bro.
I can't help myself.
You don't want to ruin your quesadilla. So I'm excited because this meat and potatoes, this quesadilla.
The bread has been removed from the table.
Well, he's finished.
The temptation's been removed.
His bread's gone, and, you know, he's looking forward to his meat and potatoes.
The steak's on the...
I'm going to be even more hungry. I'm going to enjoy it even more when it comes around.
You already beat me to my next analogy. So, yes.
Amazing.
It's going to be cooked beautifully, medium rare, with some nice potatoes by the time in a couple months from now.
Exactly. And then dessert will come in a tiramisu, which means...
Well, now I'm hungry.
Tiramisu, which is just us having a good time. Hashtag gala.
It would have been really nice to have you for some double threshy. While we're down here,
I just think Morgan
might never happen again. So
to be fair though, Morgan, double threshold just makes sense though, because like
I know.
Doing the double threshold, I was like, this would be
the
so
whole time I was doing it. I was like
thinking about Morgan as well. I was like, this is Morgan's.
I was like, if Morgan was, I wouldn't even have to lead a single rep if Morgan was here.
I'm gonna double threshold.
Also, your son was a bit lost as well.
Kai.
Yeah.
I think he's doing pretty well.
From what I've heard, he's doing all right.
I think he's doing pretty well.
He's doing all right.
I'm worried about how much fitter he's gonna get. Doing double.
Yeah. He's already very fit. Did he do double threshold in college or no?
Yeah, they did, actually.
They did. So he's done it before.
Yeah. Okay. He was telling me that. like cooling down. And I was like, what? I didn't even know this.
This is normal.
The only person in that line that hasn't done it, Morgan, is your boy Ollie. And his lactate was way too low, so he overtrained it already. Sorry, Jakob.
So you're crushing it.
It was higher than everyone else's, though. Well, I mean, everyone else's.
Yeah, but your lactate is like, what, 0.4 or something?
I can't produce any lactate down here. I haven't gone over 2.
George isn't lactating.
I probably am overtraining, though.
George isn't lactating. In terms of that. George gives all that lactating when he's at the farm.
Training is like hard for me right now because I'm unfit and unadapted. So I'm just like...
I'm fit at a 1.2.
Keep dreaming.
Yared was the funniest though. Do you hear about Yared's lactate?
What?
He was doing the threshold in the morning and he was like chilling. Like he was just vibing.
Oh yeah.
4.8.
That sounds like an incorrect reading.
No, it was actually high before. I think it was 3.
Maybe he's fitter at altitude.
He just can spike his lactate whenever he wants.
Do you think he did that? He chose to?
He did that on purpose so he wouldn't have to do the double threshold. He's like, no.
How about no? Smart. That's a really smart move by him. But yep, that's what's going on with us at training camp. It's really fun. Unfortunately, next week we'll already be back in Boulder, which is sad because I think it'd be lovely to spend as much time down here in the lovely sun as possible. But it
just
is good.
Just refuse to get on the plane.
Yeah, stay here. George is going to go back up to Flagstaff.
I just can't stand the locals.
Oh yeah, before we move on, George does have to talk about his little trip yesterday.
Right. Yeah, where'd you go, George?
I snuck up the mountain.
He did because afternoon. I was out waiting in the driveway with my bag.
Ollie wanted to come.
And George had already left.
I had left before you guys had even gone running yet.
Yeah, before we got up.
Yeah, Ollie had a date to train with the NAU team that day.
I was excited because I wanted to get my photo in the dome. I wanted to get my photo shaking Mike Smith's hand. And then I also wanted to get a photo in front of the George Beamish memorial statue, which is just George when he had a buzz haircut. That's why it's called the memorial statue because we lost the George Buzz haircut style.
Quick rundown. I drove up there, solo mission, had lunch with Coach Korn, got a burrito from Tourist Home because that's what you do. Talked to Smith for a while.
Yeah, can you tell us what Smith said about? Yeah.
You
said something about us calling his group something.
Yeah, he doesn't like the cult. Ollie calls it a cult.
He doesn't like that.
He knows about that?
Yeah.
I'm sure the team probably just
He listens to this
shit.
Podcast. Hi, Mike.
I told him he needs to not throw a stopwatch on camera, though.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was so funny. I mean, such a cool coaching thing because it's like, wow, this guy really cares. But also, it's just like his athletes did really well. They just missed the mark by a tiny bit, I think.
Well, that was the funny thing.
That's what he was pissed off. Like, just, well, it was like 1 or 2 seconds.
The fact that they like panned to the back straight,
yeah,
just randomly after the race for like a split second, caught Smith chucking his stopwatch on the ground. No, he just said he was pissed that like the last lap got like so messy and they just got out of position. He said he was pissed because he knew that his guys were going to be like
they're right
kicking themselves about like just being on the wrong side of like. Because there were like 8 or 9 guys at the bell, they just didn't quite get in the right position, and then, you know, missed that kind of move. Yeah,
love that passion.
Very funny. And then I showed up to practice just so
everyone could cheer you in.
Everyone was just like, "Who the fuck is this old guy?"
Clap him in.
And I don't really know. I Bosley is still he's
still around,
still on the team as a 6th year somehow, who I was on the team with. Caleb and Drew and Corey. That's it, really. Everyone else is new.
Caleb is crushing it.
Caleb is crushing it.
Shout out to Caleb. Well done, man. Good job just sticking out after so many years of...
Wisconsin native.
Adversity.
And
I love it.
Then we went to the classic spot, Dark Sky Brewing.
Nice. You had pizza there?
Got a pizza. Yeah. Got a beer. And then we played some Monday Night Bingo.
Wait, you had a beer there? I've been asking you to have a beer with me this whole trip. And you got a beer up in Flagstaff with your boys.
Of course.
Your boy?
You haven't said that one time.
We literally were out and I said, do you want a beer? And you didn't get one.
Where?
What's it called?
Yeah.
Shit.
Where did we go?
Never mind. I'm pretty sure this could have been...
This isn't your dream, I think.
No, this was a separate situation, not in Arizona. But I'm actually disappointed because I actually wanted to go to that pizza shop and have a beer. But I also wanted to ask everyone questions about like what you were like in college.
The best move you could have done, Ollie, is drive up separately.
Well, yeah. I did ask Kelsey to borrow the car for that and she said hell nah, which honestly is fair. No, I didn't ask Kelsey that. But I was considering it. I actually took Kelsey's car and had a sandwich by myself. And then we had a group meeting in my living in my kitchen area with everyone on the team pretty much coming in for coffee, which was pretty sweet actually.
A little rotation.
I played bingo with Harv.
It was bingo.
It was Monday night bingo at the brewery.
I thought it would have been trivia. Just straight up bingo. Bingo is pure luck, right? You can't cheat or like you can't use skill in it.
Unless you're colluding with the with the person reading the numbers.
Yeah. The only skill is like listening to the thing and stamping attention. It. You have to be paying attention. That's the only
probably
skill.
Who won bingo?
Involved. No one in our group won the whole night. Sad. It was pretty sad. But we were getting hyped for other people that were winning outside because we were sitting outside and it was like outside versus inside.
Very cool.
It was very flag stuff.
Very flag stuff.
Yeah, just like, I don't know.
I did ask you this on the run, but I kind of want to say it public. What did Mike Smith think of the name Swoosh and not Flagsmith Elite that we've coined the group?
I forgot about Flagsmith Elite. I forgot we said that. No, I did. That didn't come up, unfortunately.
Oh, you'll have to ask Molly.
Yeah. I mean, he was going to invite me up for some...
For a motivational talk to the team, right?
Some couscous salad and then a motivational chat with the team.
What I suspect is... that he does not give a fuck about the name of the team.
That's so Mike Smith.
The one thing is, I don't think Mike and Jerry would care about the image of it, but I think Dajit will like put in like good like vibes to hopefully create, because she's got a bit of an image, you know? She'll want it to she look does. Swift, smooth, and silky, whereas the fellas probably just don't care as much. So maybe she can create that image, because Swoosh, objectively bad name. So I'm hoping that they can turn it around with a logo or something.
For the record, I like the name, but...
You like the name?
It was very nice to be back, though. But it's also very nice to be back.
Ollie wants to talk more about the name again.
I hate the name, I know.
He keeps trying to bring it up. Let's talk about some more records.
I've got names, all right?
Okay, what's a better name?
Jerry's Joggers.
That's a great name.
Jerry's Joggers.
You need one that has to be the same for all three, though.
Diljit Distance.
See, these are all...
And Flagsmith Elite.
Those are all killer names.
Flagsmith Elite great names, dude. They can take them for free, bro.
Those are really good.
But no, I just don't like the name. But like, we'll move on, George. It's okay.
We'll talk about it again next week.
You'll hear about it from me tonight before you go to bed.
Well, I just figured that you were going to bring it up most weeks until the team like has some announcement. So
until they change it. No, it's never happening. So right as this podcast, actually, it was right before the podcast came out last Thursday, 1 week ago. There was a little track meet in a French town of, who knows the name, Leven or some shit. Where it was, not important. What was important is that Jakob was chasing down Yared's newly set world record, just 5 days young, I believe, at the time. And Jakob was on a mission. He had two very strong pacemakers, and he had wave lights, and he was saying, fuck it, I'm going to go and run quick.
It was literally two races.
And he did that.
Like, it was literally, he was him, and then there was the rest of the field, had their own paces as well.
Well, running 3:45 indoors is not many people have done it before.
No,
so
not many people
I'm not surprised that not no. many people can go with him. There's not many people in the world that can go.
I should confess this. I have done it before, but it was in
training though.
No, but it was at the CU track. So the conversion
doesn't count. I did the conversion. It's flat 300.
Yeah. That's so fair. What's 3:45 converted down? Because I ran 3:45.
Oh, you ran at altitude.
3:45:10.
It's got to be about 3:40.
Yeah.
I think it's 5 seconds or
so. 5 seconds. So I have technically run it, but it was because the cones went out, it doesn't count.
Yeah. But long story short, Jakob ran 3:45, took, I think, over a second off the.
A second Yared's. And a bit, I think.
Yeah, off yeah. the record.
Was it point? It was like 0.1, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was it? He just looked fucking amazing.
He went through the same split, literally almost identical.
He went through in 2:29. He broke the 1500 record as well.
For the 800, he went through exactly the same as Jared, like almost identical.
Did he really?
Yeah, and then he closed the absolute hell out of it. It was insane.
First time anyone's ever broken 3:30 indoors.
Yeah. He looked really good.
He did.
En route to a mile.
He looked amazing. He looked like a freaking baller.
The thing is, Jakob's not going to... He's not going to attempt it unless he knows... He's never failed to break a world record, ever.
Well, He has in the 1500.
No, outdoors. He admits every time that the 1500 is the hardest world record
in Monaco,
and that he's not fit enough.
He said softly he was going for the world record in Monaco.
See, I don't know if I really believe
that.
But
he blamed the pacing.
Like 2K, fucking nailed it. 3K, fucking destroyed it. 2 mile, not even close.
He's destroyed all of those. This is true.
The ones he lines up for, he knows what he can run.
Yeah, it's very impressive, isn't it?
Like it's not a foregone conclusion, but
someone's
it's like
writing the script.
He's just not going to do it unless he's fit enough.
Yeah, this seems like some NFL script writing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think he'll know when he's in 325 shape, if that ever happens. Because I feel like he's never said that, but he's known every other time that like the world record is.
There's a difference between knowing you're fit enough and actually executing it, though. I think there's still a
difference. Well, yeah, but he's also very good at that part.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. I'm not taking it away from him. I'm just saying, like, he's very good at executing it.
What are you going to say?
I have a disagreement with George about this. I know George has a different opinion, which I definitely respect now. But I do think that for him, for the type of person Jakob is, the type of runner he is, I think that was objectively very, like, easy for him.
Compared to what
Yared and Hobbs did.
But Yared and
I do disagree with this, had the same race.
Right?
Sorry? Yeah, but okay, so
Yared thinks it's harder because Yared had someone to race.
No, yeah. I think it's harder because Yared was getting...
That's what I said.
No, because Yared was getting clipped literally the whole race. Yes. He was getting clipped the whole race and he wasn't like...
He said Hobbs clipped him like once or twice or something.
It was more than that.
What is that going to do?
What's that going to do? Did you remember Brussels Diamond League? When he fell?
I'm sorry, I can't be on your side on this.
I think having two paces helps.
If Yared fell, I would say, that's probably going to slow you down.
If Yared had two paces and wave lights.
He did have two paces.
He did have two. Not having wave lights is one thing.
But did the pace go for long? The second pace go for as long as Jakob's one?
Yeah. Abe Alvarado did an amazing job.
He did do a great job.
He went all the way to a K.
Well, if Yared had wave lights, I'm backing my boy Yared. I reckon he can run it. I reckon he could. If he was in that race with Jakob, I reckon he would have been right on him.
That's not what I said. He would have passed him
right at the end and said, "You just got goosed." That's what I reckon would have happened.
Just the fact that you were saying it's easier when you don't have someone to race. That's literally what you said. It was easier because he didn't have anyone to race.
Yeah, well, for him, I think it is easier because if there's people around him, he doesn't do as well.
Yared?
No, Jakob.
Oh, Jakob. But I don't know. That's not true in some past races that I can think of.
The actual mile.
Prefontaine mile.
Yeah. I reckon Yared helped him in that.
And in like a bunch of his 1500 races. I think competition has helped push him.
I'm just thinking more other races.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking of championship races.
Yeah.
Whereas we're thinking about pace races.
Pace races, though, he's always at the front.
But he wins them, even if someone tries to go with him, generally.
Yeah.
That's different. That's a different situation.
I see what you're saying, but I think in this... instance, I think they.
I think the wave lies to two paces like every Diamond League he's ever done. I just feel like that's easier for him than if they just didn't have if they had a shit ton of people with him.
The wave lies definitely help. Not disagreeing with that.
I see what you're saying in terms of the fact that everything was perfectly set up for him and that he had nothing distracting him.
Yeah,
but I think competition still helps. I think if he had someone that came up alongside him.
I think if Yared was there, he would have run 3:44. Maybe they both would have.
Yeah. I guess my point is, watching it, I'm thinking, if Yared was in that, he can do it. That's probably my point.
Which is probably true.
Valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to take it away from him, but I feel like those, when it's set up like that for Jakob, he's always like, I think that's his perfect scenario.
I do give some credit to Jakob for his Instagram post too.
That was funny. Calling out. He's really playing into it and having a good time now.
He really is. And like, yeah, just saying that he's looking forward. I don't know when they're going to race though.
We had a very, very funny Coffee Club fan interaction with Jakob at the race.
And in Leuven?
Wait, really?
Yeah. It was relayed to me.
It was relayed to you?
So apparently a fan was like talking to him before the race or something like that. I'm not sure on the exact specifics, but I think they were British. And I think they said something along the lines of, "Oh, I'm British, but I don't like Josh Kerr." And Yucca's response was, "No one does."
Oh, God.
Damn.
Just something that I heard.
Oh, no.
Shout out to whatever that fan was. That's a very funny thing to say to Jakob. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And Yaka's just ticking over boxes these days. He's getting more and more loved, I think, if anything. Especially when you go out and do shit like that and you call your shot.
And then did you see his story after the race?
His story? Which one?
With his little baby, Ollie Jr.
I didn't see it.
With Philippa, he said, my greatest achievement.
Oh, really?
He literally said that after the race with his bub, yeah.
That was wow.
And at that point, you're like, all right, yeah, dude. That was so wholesome. Can you, like, give that, us some
give
of
us give us a chance, man. Yeah, give us a chance. You've freaking done it all already. Freaking whatever.
Yeah, well amazing. Done. All right. The very next day, right? Was it one? I think it was one day later?
Yeah, I think it was.
Taking a break from The Bachelor.
Teleport to... Back to BU.
We need to talk about the fact that
The Bachelor's name's Grant.
The fact that this year's Bachelor is named Grant.
We're suing.
We're suing. We're suing.
They literally started the show. They made the show.
Did you guys see that right after the race at BU Valentine? Someone threw a rose to Grant.
He just held
catches
a
it.
Rose.
And he just catches it.
It was like. It was too perfect.
Are we writing the script?
I think maybe we are
writing the script.
Did Gus plan this all out?
I think that's why Gus has been on the pod for a while. I think he's literally
he's
been playing this out.
I mean, it was Valentine's Day.
It was. Like, it makes sense.
So that just, also makes sense.
We literally, it's just too perfect. We have a shirt that has a rose and it's Grant's, like, it's just.
It is too perfect.
Whatever.
It was came full circle. Whatever. That was amazing.
But yeah, Grant.
He did some running too.
6 days after his 3K world record breaks the 5K world record, which was, I believe, 12:49 held by none other than Kinesia Bekele from, it must have been kind of old, I guess.
I think it was his last one.
It was, yeah. No more world records.
Which is insane.
So crazy, bye-bye.
The legend.
Yeah, I grew up idolizing that guy.
Records are meant to be broken, guys.
Mm-hmm. And Grant runs 12:44 after we had heard earlier in the week that the pace he had requested is 12:42 pace, I think his coach had said. Just crazy fast, and it's under the outdoor American record of 12:46. And yeah, I mean, it just looked he had good pacemaking, but it came down to just Grant really having to just kind of grit this one out.
How far did he ever pace it?
I don't think he had to pace it till 3K.
He didn't make it 3K.
Henry McCluckey. Oh. Shout out. I don't think he went 3K. I don't think it was. I think it was halfway. I could be wrong on that.
Who's more? What's more impressive?
How long did Jimmy last? Jimmy, not even. He was 2 seconds back at 3K, so he must have also.
I think about when the pace
halfway
maker,
maybe.
Yeah, but they went out so fast. Grant's fastest lap was his second lap of the race.
I saw that they went out in 58 seconds.
Yeah, so I think Jimmy
was
went
that
out.
Faster than they went out in the 3K.
It definitely could have been.
Like, why would you go out in 58 seconds?
Get the legs rolling.
Yeah. Put some time in the bank.
Yeah, money in the bank.
Money in the bank.
Run 58, and then you see 23 laps remaining.
Brutal.
I can't believe he did that, actually.
What do you think is more impressive, his 3K world record or his 5K world record? 7:22.9 and 12:44.
I think the
really hard question.
I think the 3K.
I reckon the 3K. Way more impressive.
There's just way more people... recently that have run low 12:40s, even high 12:30s.
It's true.
Also, it's half of a 10K, and 10Ks are boring as fuck, right, George?
Correct.
When you put it like
so
that.
So 3Ks are more interesting and entertaining.
Also, doing it at Millrose is just way cooler.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. If you did it, like, you know, at somewhere in France or, you know, but somewhere in Boston, it's not as cool as doing it at New York.
Him just going like 30 points... Wait. No, he was running... What, did he just run 30... Was it 30 points every way or 31 points? 30 points.
Yeah, that's pretty
crazy.
Yeah,
it was just 30 points, like the whole, from like 3K. That's and he went through crazy. In 7:39.
So.
Dude, the dude is really fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not many people can do that.
I don't even know what else to even add to that. I mean,
well,
it's
it
ridiculous.
It did spark a discussion because there is, I don't know why this is still a thing, but World Athletics has their scoring tables and... they have conversions. So, for example, you guys know that this ranking system exists, which they try to push, but no one really pays attention to. But it does matter for some people, especially for qualifying for events like World Championships and the Olympics. And so they have this scoring system. And the way that it works with indoor races is that your times in indoor get converted to outdoor times. And so, for example... Grant's indoor 12:44 at BU is worth a 12:29 outdoors. It's just absolutely crazy.
Which is obviously wrong.
It's very wrong.
Like, how have they even like made that table and said, oh, pff, yeah, it looks right.
Yeah, Jakob, 345, that's worth a 340 mile outdoors, a 324, 1500, and a 1228.
Why do they do that? Is it? It's almost just encouraging indoor racing in, for ranking. Do you think that's why they want it, or do you think they actually just don't know how wrong it is?
I think that at one point when they came up with the scoring system, people didn't run as fast indoors.
I think it's because, yeah, it's just more,
it's more relative.
More people are taking indoors way more seriously. So it's like, you know, when your Garmin or your Coros watch says that when you're running indoors, it says you're running like a 9 minute pace, but you're actually running 7 minute pace.
Yeah. When the
but then after a while, you've been doing that and it gets used to your cadence and
they use
manually putting it in.
They just use the Garmin.
It's getting there. It's moving into that direction, but it's not accurate at the moment.
So I don't know. They have to adjust that at some point because it's just crazy.
I think it only, the 800 is definitely slower indoors. The 1500 is where it gets similar.
But the thing is, people don't even try to run fast 800. Like, think about the Olympic final field. I wonder what would happen if they all actually tried to run fast indoors. I agree with you. I think it is slower. But it'd be interesting to see actually what the difference is with people were trying to, which is what we're seeing in these other events now. People are trying to do it and they're doing it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the fact that the stanzas got so fast has meant people have to chase them indoors, and it's so consistent that it's an easy place to chase them. But that just makes no sense.
Yeah.
So, get points for 12:29.
Yeah, I don't know how they're like, I don't know, not making a correction on that like immediately. It's going to stand, you know.
I do think he can run fast outdoors, but I don't think he can run 12:29.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's absurd.
It's all right. They'll fly us to Monaco and we'll sort them out.
Yeah. We'll get on the World Athletics panel advisory committee.
We're going to be on there in a few years, boys. Don't you worry.
We'll take over. Be working alongside our boy Sebco. Cannot wait. Well, the craziest thing about all this world record talk is that we haven't even talked about the most wild one yet, which is the half marathon world record getting broken by a minute.
A whole minute, yeah.
So, let me set the stage. Jacob Kiplimo, I think it was 2021. I could be wrong. He breaks the world record in the half marathon running, I think, about 57:31. Then, at the end of last season, so we're at the end of 2024, Yomif Kejelcha breaks the world record in the half by just 1 second, running 57:30. So Kiplimo says, you know what? I'm going to take another little crack at this thing before I go and try debut in the marathon. Goes to Barcelona this past week. Runs a freaking 56:42. And we're seeing all... We were talking about this before the pod. We've seen all these different versions of his 5K splits and some of them seemingly absolutely impossible. So some contentious things there. But regardless of what his splits were, 56:42 is now one of the craziest world... It's arguably the craziest world record out there, I think, based on percent better than... Like, first time percent better than second best time, I think it is the best world record out there. I think second best is maybe Usain Bolt in the 100. I think he's just pretty far ahead of the second fastest ever run time. But this just blows it out of the water. And the half marathon is a distance which... Like, so all the good marathoners run the half, and you get the good 5K, 10K guys running the half. The half marathon is an event which nowadays is put on really well, and people really go for it. And just to have someone being that far ahead of everyone else is just mind-blowing. Sad. So Yomif was simultaneously the world record holder in the half marathon and the indoor mile, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, he's lost
and both
of them.
Just got broken. Kind of crazy to think about.
That's some range right there.
Yeah, wild. But it's just the splits on this thing were crazy. Apparently his second 5K being a 13:12. The mile pace on that, for people that know mile paces, I think was 4:19 mile pace for 13 miles consecutively.
Dude.
Yeah, but could that make the top 16 in the NCAAs?
Not even close.
240 per K or something? Not or even 241.
Close. Not even close.
Just wild. I mean, I see...
I don't even know how you get that fit. Like, what?
What is he doing?
I would love to see some training on that.
Yeah.
To know that you could run...
I cannot imagine what the sessions are.
How easy is the marathon world record going to be? You must think... You go through in 60 flat?
Yeah.
Surely that's just an absolute jog.
You're jogging.
And then he's just going to close...
What's this guy's threshold pace? What do you think his lack date was?
He's like, probably like...
He looked amazing.
Yeah.
3-4.
Okay, the only thing... I'm not trying to take away from this. I saw a couple of videos. The Lee car was like awfully close to him. Did you guys see this?
I might have seen one of those videos.
The Lee car is...
Blocking a bit of wind, do you think?
I think it's close enough that it's blocking the wind for him. And they have the... It has the pace on it. So I think the Lee car is...
How close does it... What's the ruling?
I don't know what the ruling is, but I'll show you guys the video that I sent to Joe.
What I was saying to Ollie is I remember in maybe 2022 watching him at Comm Games. I'm pretty sure he doubled 5 and 10, right? Yep. I think he did. He won both. And watching that dude run is pretty insane. He just, like, at the time I was like, this dude is the best distance runner in the world.
Yeah.
Like, just pure distance runner. He looks so insanely efficient. Like, nothing moves.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like arms and legs, and his body is just like dead still. It's unbelievable.
I think he's still very young as well.
He's like 24.
Yeah. All right. Does that not look like that would be
I did see this video.
Affecting, like, that's blocking wind.
There's no way it's not helping a little bit.
That's blocking wind. That's probably 10 meters less.
Maybe less. Maybe like 8.
That's surely blocking wind at that pace, especially at that speed.
It has to be.
So, I didn't know what the rules are, but I was surprised that the car could be so close to him. But
maybe it was just filming or something. Are they filming on Tom?
No, it's just the clock. They have that for all the races. They have the clock on the lead vehicle now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at least it's definitely, I think it's giving him something to chase, which I think is fine.
My problem with the half marathon is I think it's actually, I almost think it's like an underrated event. I think there's like a massive marketing opportunity there. Like, what would you say is the biggest half marathon in the world to win?
Apart from World Half?
Yeah, Road Running? Do you even think that's the biggest one?
I think it has been.
Really?
Yeah.
The fact
I'd say it gets the most people trying to win it.
Do you think he'll be doing it?
I don't know.
I don't know if the top guys care about winning World Half.
Well, if you look at the guys that won it last year, like they were last time.
We did win last
sorry.
Year. Was it in? Name. Was it with you? Was
yeah,
it in
it's part of World Road Running now.
It is now, huh?
Yeah, like
so. Hopefully, it is bigger.
The top five in the top ten was like crazy.
I just think there's like a missed opportunity for like. I think they should have like a major.
Majors,
series.
They should.
They should have like majors because like
put
winning the Barcelona Half Marathon that. That means nothing to anyone in the sport, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's only not, just that he ran fast.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I see what you're
there
saying.
Could be such a sick series of half marathons.
Yeah, why would there not be?
Like, make them some, like, major series where there's points or something for winning multiple. Make them more, like, people can do more of them. It's almost, like, more marketable than a marathon just because it's shorter. Like, it's harder because, like, I think it's the most run distance in the world because, like, more... Normal
yeah,
people do it.
Because
people always do a half before a marathon.
Yeah, I've run one.
What about
yeah.
a 10K World Series?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like 10K, but just 10K.
Okay, actually though.
On the road.
If you had a road 10K World Series, that'd be the coolest thing.
Road 10K, yes.
10K World Road Series?
Yeah,
also,
that'd be so sick.
What about half marathon World Series, but it's on the track?
At BU?
It's only at BU.
Yeah. Like
no,
should,
but
like
you go from
Barcelona,
BU tracks.
Valencia.
Yeah, they should
like
do that.
Whatever a good half marathon in the US is.
Houston.
Boulder. I don't know.
New York half. New York's about to go down.
New York half is about to go down.
Yeah. Boston has a half.
Hey, they're about to go where, guys? About to go downtown. Yeah.
Downtown.
New York.
Speaking, did you guys see who got announced running it today?
New York? The Wiz.
Yeah, I did. Woody Concave.
Mm-hmm.
And Mohamed.
Yeah, pretty hype.
Mm.
Honestly, very hype. Shout out to Woody. Almost took over the pod last time he was here.
I think he did.
I expect him big things from him. I expect big things.
Excited.
It is cool for what it makes. He already has the 10K standard, right? So I think that's, he doesn't need to do the 10. So he
Has, but the 10K is, you know.
Has a bit of freedom. Mm-hmm. That's way cooler that he's doing that instead of doing the 10.
No, never doing the 10 again.
Yeah, except
Mohamed hasn't raced since the Olympics, since he fell at the Olympics, I think.
True. Mm. No, he raced in Rome.
Did he?
I think.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think he did well.
Oh, he did. He ran like 12:50 something again for like the 13th time or something crazy.
Yeah.
Is he with Swoosh TC still?
He's got to be.
Probably, right?
Surely.
Has he run a half?
No, so no. Last year he was on the start list for Houston, and then he didn't end up doing it.
That's right, that's right. And this year he was on the start list for Milrow.
Was he really?
For a little bit,
for the 3K, yeah.
Love that. The Milrow's 3K start list was, the names on it were crazy. I mean, the names, the people that showed up was also crazy, but there's a couple of extras as well that weren't there. But yeah, that'll be a hotly anticipated. I mean, he's one of the, he's so underrated, like his credentials on the track, especially particularly at championships. His amount of medals and top fives that he's got across the 5K and the 10K, been so good. And he's had a long career on the track at the really high level. So,
and Klecker.
Klecker. Wait, what about Klecker?
Oh, no, in New York. I was thinking Atlanta.
Yeah.
That field also got announced.
Which is actually a really good field as well, because it's the U.S. Half Marathon Championship. So it's the selection race for the World Road Running Championships later in the year, I believe, which is in San Diego. So it's going to be a huge one to be part of.
That is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Crazy to think to me that how Klecker and I, my paths have diverged. We raced a half together. Now I'm sitting on the bike and he's racing
another
half
to do
in 2 weeks.
Next weekend.
Is it next weekend?
It's literally next weekend. It's like next Sunday.
Oh, God.
When's the New York one? It's a couple weeks away. Start of March or something.
I think it's later.
Oh.
I think it's later.
Why are they announcing that field too early? I guess that's good, but
it's not that early, really.
That's cool that
for a big race.
Yeah.
February's a short month, brother.
Dude, you get through it real quick. But, yeah. Back to Kiplimo. Just, I don't even, like, that's putting the world record in territory. March 16th is when New York is. It's like, is anyone even going to try to run that pace? Like, can you even try that?
I'll give it a shot. Bro, shit about Arizona, bro, I'm getting scorched by this fucking sun.
I'm so sorry. Do you want to move around?
No, it's okay. This is kind of cool. It looks like I'm, like, Phantom of the Opera, you know? Or Nosferatu.
We tried to...
It feels nice on the wrist of me, except my eyes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, your eyes are too beautiful. Honestly, I don't think anybody would go because you just destroy your whole freaking race. Like, what's the point?
It's so
like,
fast.
It's 4 minutes. Like, but particularly in a marathon pace, if he's going for a marathon, why would you go with him at all? Like, it would make no sense. Unless, I mean, what would he go through 60 probably would be his plan if he wants to break 2.
Is this in London? Are we saying he's going to break the world record?
Yeah.
In London, the thing with London
is it
might be a bad day sometimes weather-wise in London. It's definitely a fast course.
It's definitely fast.
Some days, some years, sorry, it doesn't seem as fast.
At least fastest debut ever, surely.
He's got big competition. I think Kiptum ran.
He did run really fast.
Like under 203 or
201.
I think it was 201.
Yeah.
201 in his debut. Sure. Valencia.
His debut. That unreal. Was insane.
But if anyone's going to do it, it's a guy who can run 56 minutes.
Yeah. Well, another big full marathon debut this year is Borrego. He's doing it in...
Really?
In Spain somewhere. I think Seville or something like that. So
these guys are not... These just guys just not running Worlds this year? Or are they going to do both?
I don't know.
Knowing
they're like
them,
legit medal contenders in the 10.
Yeah.
That's your favorite event, George. I'm surprised you know that.
Well, I like the World Champs 10.
Oh, just what 10 do you not like?
The 10. It's the qualifying I don't like. The qualifying system is broken.
Yeah, it is for the 10.
That's not even up for debate.
Oh, wait, if I... can we do another bet? I just thought of a bet right now that we could do.
When did we last do one?
Recording. It was for the running. We still have that one on deck, which was the world record. If one of us breaks the 5K world record.
Okay, what's the other one?
So this one, you have to spend a week with me and my family.
That sounds lovely.
Oh, shit.
I love your family.
Damn it. Yeah, that's right. They are adorable. let me think. Oh, no. You have to get McDonald's with me one night if... And, actually no, you have to get McDonald's with one night. And you have to run the Sound 10K if I medal in Tokyo in the 1500 meters. Or in any event.
Very bad.
I have to eat McDonald's and run the team?
Yeah. Doesn't have to be in the same day.
What's the flip side of the spit?
What do you want from me if I don't do it?
There's not a lot this man hasn't done.
No, if you...
We already have one on about selling your Tesla and getting the Prius. Yeah, yeah.
I got a good one for you, George, to give to Ollie. What about he has to run a steeple?
No, absolutely fucking not.
That'd be pretty funny, huh?
I'd go to Mount Ballsack and run like 10 and a half minutes.
You have to run a Mount Sack, specifically.
Oh, can you imagine? It'd be like a spider in a frying pan. It'd be freaking terrible.
Do I have to finish the 10? Can I pace it?
No, you have to race it. You can't be pacing it. Nah, because that's not fair, because you would do that for teammates. That's a bit different. You'd use it as training as well. I want you to race it.
Just experience and a also, good old and track and I'd also
how much McDonald's do I have to eat?
You have to eat at least like a combo meal.
How can I eat the combo meal or run the 10? Or I have to do both? Why do I have to do both?
You have to do both.
I mean, he's meddling at the world championships.
Also, like, and it can't be the breakfast menu too, because I know you love the breakfast menu. So it has to be the after 10:30 menu.
I don't know what that means.
So they're calling it.
I'm going to have to think of the other one.
Do you think that's a good bet, Morgan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's a really good bet so far.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't said exactly what happens if you don't achieve that.
I literally don't know if you could. Do you think you could physically do a steep? Do you think you would even.
I don't think you could physically get over a barrier. No, I have no
idea.
I think
Ollie would crash a steeple.
I mean, the funniest thing for me was maybe work on the farm for a week and see if I could survive. I actually think I did okay on the farm, to be fair.
All right, let's come back to that one.
All right, but we're gonna maybe lock that in later on, and then I have a bet planned for Morgan, but bet I want to I'm gonna wait to we, see if this one will pay off.
I already had to do something if you meddled, because if I meddled, you were gonna have to sell your Tesla and get a Prius.
Mm.
What was mine for that one? It was like a few weeks ago.
I think you had to get a tattoo of like a koala on your ass or some shit.
I don't think it was that.
No, that was the other one.
Remembered it.
This is
was it car related as well?
I don't think so.
I don't think it was car related.
Someone. All right.
Yeah, someone's gonna.
Someone's gonna have to bring that up.
It's like right on the.
Someone
tip
go
of
back
brain.
In the. A listener, please. A few weeks ago or a month ago.
Help us out. It was really not that long ago.
It really wasn't. I think it was literally. I think it was the episode I was in New Zealand.
Yeah,
it was not on that the bike. Long ago. The Woody episode, but part two.
I think it was even.
And it was Ollie having to sell his Tesla and get a Prius. That was my side.
But can I get the 2025 Prius?
It's pretty sick, actually. Yeah,
that's why I was like, I would definitely get that car.
Oh yeah.
No,
do it.
I can't remember. I guess that wasn't specified, so you can do whatever you want.
Trade it in.
All right.
Well, yeah, a crazy week in tracking. What do we think's going on? Like, just to kind of round this up, conclude this talk of world records. Why is all these people running world records right now?
Well, I reckon because the TikTok hasn't been banned yet, and then when it was banned, everyone freaked out, and then all their hormones and stuff went up. And
or instead of watching TikTok, they were training.
Yeah, and then that slight shift.
I've heard Grant's pretty addicted to TikTok, so.
Yeah, he's also addicted to listening to this podcast.
Shout
out, Grant.
The spike regulations don't seem to be making much of a difference.
No.
Which I guess is a good thing. We'll see if they do at the 10. That might be where it has more of an impact.
I think the spikes is just, I don't know why the hell they changed it. So random, so dumb. I think it matters more in training probably than races. The cumulative effect.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe people
and we can
still
just, we can, training. And they're not going to stop us training in the fat ones anyway.
Maybe
so.
People are training in fat ones and then they're just racing the small ones.
I think so. And that's the best thing to do.
Yeah. Better for your body, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like there's about coming off the Olympics. You know, I think...
Yeah, I mean, when they asked Jared, he literally said, like, the confidence he has now with an Olympic medal is legit. Like, he did say that's a big part of it. That was, like, a big part of...
Just looking at specifically...
His mindset,
like,
at least.
Grant
and Jared.
I mean, Jakob's Cole. Breaking records every freaking...
Yeah.
For the last few years.
I guess, yeah. He hasn't really made a jump, necessarily. But maybe Cole, Grant, Jared would have. And Americans.
In the
just U.S. middle distance.
Yeah. Took a jump at the Olympics and now it's... they've all been training well, staying healthy, just continuing to improve. All the three of those guys seem like they're really smart with like how they operate and all that. And
they know themselves well now, I think, as athletes too.
Yeah.
That definitely helps. Like, I think Jared going through the years has developed now to where he knows exactly what he needs to do and what he needs his body to do in training and in rest. And I think Grant as well, like with the injuries and stuff he's had and setbacks and also moving away from Bauman, definitely seems like he's found his own signature on the paper of success.
Kip Limo, I have no freaking idea how he ran so fast. No, Kip Limo, I think that. He
just probably plays a lot of Fortnite with Kai.
Fortnite, you think?
Yeah. The new season's out, so I'm guessing.
I can't even remember how Kip Limo in the Olympics.
Did he run the Olympics?
He must have, surely. But I can't remember how he did. I don't think he medaled.
He didn't.
He might have.
He didn't medal.
No, he didn't. I want to say top six.
Yeah.
Six.
I reckon. In the 10. Can't think of anything else. Who knows? I think the bar is just... continues
this
to be
raised.
This
could be the year that sub 8 is possible in the steeple, George. And I hope to see your name smack bang in that position.
It's been done before.
Didn't you hear Morg talk about run good at the Olympics, stay healthy after that? There was a whole explanation.
No, that's just for some people.
All I'm saying is, you guys, I believe in you.
Never been done by a non-African.
Yeah.
Really?
Because Evan was the closest. We talked about this on the run.
We did.
Because remember when he fell? He was going to break it.
He was going to run like
7:56. He was going to run it, and then he fell, which was depressing. But
that's so sad.
That was very sad. But I'm just saying, I believe in you both. And if
he showed it's possible,
I'll be pissed off. But you guys will do a good job.
Thanks. You too.
Yeah, don't talk to me.
Well, on that lovely note, I think, is there anything else we have to share with these beautiful people before we wrap up this Phoenix episode? It's gold now, right now.
It's too
good. If Ollie wasn't getting blinded, he'd be looking real good.
No, I'm looking pretty sweet.
The sun
right
is
now.
The sun is blocked by a cactus right now. That's like the most Arizona thing ever. I'm chilling right now.
I do want to say one thing. I don't know if I said it last, I probably did, but I might repeat myself. I want to thank all the people in Boston and in New York, Coffee Club fans. I know I was the only one there, and obviously out of the three of us, I'd probably the one that you wanted to see the least, because you know you got these two gorgeous stallions next to me. But thank you guys so much for the beans and wearing the merch and just being there and also just supporting all our teammates as well and the sport. It's pretty amazing to see. Tom T. Wang was down there checking it out, and he was giving me a little update on all the vibes there. And when he's said it's been absolutely amazing. So I just wanted to say thanks for that, guys. And hopefully once we get our racing schedule sorted, please come up to us, say hello. We don't bite, even though Geordie looks intimidating. We're very friendly, and we love you guys sending us beans. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Not to take away from it, but you definitely did say that.
No, I know. I just want. I want to reaffirm because I.
Just kidding.
You said it even nicer.
Beautiful words.
But I just. Fans. You know when you have those things where you forget something and it keeps you up at night. Yeah, I was worried. I didn't think our
you
fans.
You haven't been sleeping the last week.
No, because I'm too scared because I don't hear any noise from your room, and then I check and you've just taped your whole face. You look like the mummy from the night at the museum. It's crazy, Morgan. He hasn't stopped.
What does he do?
Tapes his whole face so he doesn't breathe.
Oh, I think that's why I didn't stay in flag last night. He knew I was coming back because my mouth tape was still on the bedside table. So I couldn't.
I knew he wasn't coming back.
Couldn't possibly stay
here.
In flag if I didn't have my tape.
Because my and Olivia, they asked, "Oh, do you reckon George is coming back?" I was like, "He's coming back." He's like, "How do you know?" I was like, "I know.
Checked his mouth.
I checked his I checked his table, and it literally has
he
a tape.
Didn't take
there.
Any with him." Fair, fair.
Well, all right, back in Boulder next week.
Yeah, we're back in the studio next week. Hopefully the weather is nice and sunny. We're not gonna be outside though, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, it's gonna be cold.
Sadly.
This has been way too nice.
But yeah, another episode done. 174. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.